start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
How do things stack up for your favorite team in 2026? We're going to discuss all of them coming up on the Pit Reporters. I'm joined by Doug Rice and Brandon Caldwell.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Doug and Brandon here. And let's go ahead. It's kind of an annual thing that we get to do here and kind of go through every team and look what their outlook is for the coming season. So let's go ahead and start with the defending series champion, Doug, and Hendrick Motorsports. And they got no change to the lineup this year. All four drivers back, and the defending champion, Kyle Larson.
I think the odds that they win a second championship consecutively are very strong. What's weakened? You would have to get better to pass them. The five car obviously won the title. They won three races last year. Chase Elliott even won a couple of races last year. William Byron won three last year. The only weak link that that team has is Alex Bowman. And, yeah, he's the weak link because he didn't win any races and didn't advance very far in the playoffs. Hendrick Motorsports will come back, and they will be very strong once again. I just don't see them being thrown off the racetrack.
So I think, Brandon, though, Alex Bowman's now engaged, so that immediately makes him a favorite, right?
Or more stressed, depending on how you look at it. Yes, for sure. And when you talk about Hendrick, I think when you look at the big three, and we're talking about the three, four-car teams from each manufacturer, Gibbs, Penske, if you include the Wood Brothers, which I do, that's in shop, and Hendrick Motorsports, it feels like here recently they're pulling away from the pack. As we get into next year is going to be year five of this new generation race car. Hard to believe, but it will be. And so as we've seen with all previous generations as well, when it first comes out, the gap is closed a little bit. It seems like these bigger teams are pulling away, those big three from each manufacturer. I don't see Hendrick Motorsports going anywhere. I even could see Bowman win a couple of races. It's not like he was that far off from the pack. It's not like it's Dale Jr. finishing 22nd and 25th in back-to-back years at Hendrick Motorsports when your teammates go 1, 2, and 3. It's not that drastic. And so I don't see them going anywhere.
I mean, Doug, you mentioned that even Chase Elliott won a couple of races last year. But the guy that you look at and just feel like William Byron is the guy that you thought might win the championship last year. You kind of felt like he was ready to take that next step. And you just feel like that improvement keeps coming and coming. You're just kind of waiting for that championship to happen.
It's incremental. He has matured as a race car driver. When William Byron first showed up, he looked like he should have a book bag headed to junior high. And he's grown up now. He's a lot more mature. What I want to see from William Byron as a race fan is a little more killer instinct. Get mad. Go after it. If you have to move somebody out of the way, that's all right because everybody else does. If he gets that one more little nasty edge, William Byron is a championship contender. He already is, but I think he needs that one more little thing to his resume.
Can Kyle Larson, Brandon, become more consistent? I mean, he won the championship, his second championship, but that team seems to lack consistency. Is that a problem?
Depending on what the championship format is. You know, in the old championship format, the count them all 36 races, that was probably the most important thing was consistency. Here, winning, I think consistency matters a little bit, but winning at the right times matters, and that's exactly what Kyle Larson did. He didn't even win the final championship race, but I think getting there and winning at the right times is better than being consistent in this format. Now, if it goes to a different format, it's not even worth speculating, but if it goes to something where consistency may matter more, then it will matter. And I think teams will play to that. You know, we saw Jimmy Johnson in the 10 race format, you know, sometimes in the latter part of the regular season, just kind of go to sleep and go away for a little bit. And then when the playoffs came, the 10 race chase came, they turned it on like gangbusters. He and Chad Knausen won five straight, and they were masters at that. So I think some teams play towards a format, and this format may not necessarily, you don't necessarily need to be consistent. I think it's one way to get there, but I think there's multiple ways to get there.
All right, let's look at another Chevy team, Doug, that shuffled their lineup just a little bit and shuffled the crew chiefs a little bit. Trackhouse. They're a team that you kind of feel like you kind of wait for, you know, they when we first went to this new car, they really kind of caught everybody by surprise. Then they kind of leveled off a little bit. And now you feel like they're just kind of bubbling under the surface. They got Ross Chastain back with a new crew chief. Daniel Suarez is gone. In his place, Connor Zilich, who is the guy that we're not, you know, he took the Xfinity Series by storm last year, but as a rookie in the Cup Series, what can he do? And then, of course, we know what SVG did.
Let me address the Connor Zilich thing. Connor Zilich is an upgrade. Everyone that I talked to that's followed him through go-karts, Legends cars, IMSA car, and the people that watched him race last year, he is super, uber talented. And I'm not dissing on Daniel Suarez, but Daniel Suarez did not exist for all practical purposes last year. Part of that was because he already knew he was out, and that affects you. But I think Zilich is a long-term upgrade for that team. Does it pay off dividends next year? Probably not that much. They're going to get some wins because SVG is going to win four out of the five road courses, and Chastain's the wild card in there. Chastain won one race last year, and after he won the 600, he disappeared again. We didn't hear from him again. Now, if Ross can level out a little bit, be a little bit more consistent, then they can be a player. But unless that happens, then they win some races with SVG.
The team seemed overall, Brandon, to lack consistency. And Doug made the point about the 600 where, you know, Ross started last. They had qualifying problems all year long. And maybe that's part of that consistency issue. But we know what SVG did, but, you know, again, a lot of questions, I think, there.
Yeah, and you're kind of going into 2026 with SVG Light and Zilich, a guy that's really, really good on the road courses and, you know, still questionable on ovals. And Zilich is young. You know, it's like almost like it feels like Joey Logano when Logano first came into the Cup Series. He was 18 years old, everybody calling him sliced bread. He was winning a bunch of races in the Busch Series and then really struggled in Cup. I'm not saying that Zilich is going to do that, but that's a concern for a young 19-year-old driver. I think SVG needs to get more consistent on the ovals. If he can do that, I think he can contend for a title because he's really, really good on the road courses. We have five next year. He could easily win all five. He could have won all of them this year. He was really, really strong. But the key to me is Chastain. He's more of a traditional driver and has been there since, you know, for a while now. New crew chief. Curious how that's going to work out. From all accounts, you know, it didn't sound like they removed Phil Surgeon because of performance. It sounds like Phil wanted to get off the road. So how long will it take for them to, for he and Brandon McSwain to mesh the new crew chief there? Will that eliminate all of the time that he needed to get back to being consistent on the ovals and running up front more? How long will that take? You know, usually the Coca-Cola 600 was the barometer over the years. I think we need to give it a little bit more time than that now because of a lack of practice. So might take more than half the year probably for them to get right. We'll see how that goes, though.
Well, and Doug, you mentioned, you know, Ross Chastain, and Brandon brings up the new crew chief, Brandon McSwain. I heard Justin Marks during the offseason has talked about, he feels like that Chastain's ready to be a team leader and that he can be the guy that you can make, you know, you can pair up with a young crew chief because that will work for these two guys.
Ross is probably the one current driver that I've actually spent some time around because he did a bunch of shows in the PRN booth back when I was still broadcasting, and he's smart. I feel like he's a consensus builder, and he's a good guy to be in that role. Now, what's he like at the shop? I don't know, but I have a feeling it's probably pretty good. I don't think that he's somebody that kicks people in the seat of the pants. I think he's an encourager and a team builder, and they're going to need all of that because here's the other thing. They are not the number one Chevy team. They're good, and they can win, but that's Hendrick Motorsports. Hendrick Motorsports gets everything delivered to them in a digestible form from Chevrolet. Justin Marks and his crew, they have to do a little more effort to get that information opened up.
Is there a danger, Brandon, in having too high expectations for Connor Zilich this year?
Absolutely. I think we've seen that with multiple young drivers in the past. I mentioned Joey Logano. I think Danica Patrick had unfair expectations after 1 year of Xfinity Series racing, and everybody was saying, just coming to Cup and winning races right away. Never happened. I think there is a danger in that. I think you need to – and this next-gen car is so different than what they run in the Xfinity Series now. It's not like they used – where everything was pretty much the same, and you saw all the Cup light, really, of guys going down there and – you know, being able to use that information when they come to the Cup Series. It's so different now. I think there could be some struggles there if things don't go their way. So I think it is, okay, tap the brakes a little bit, maybe lower the expectations, especially going up against SVG, maybe his own worst enemy, in the sense of if SVG wasn't there, you may expect Zilic to be a contender at all five. He may not win any because of his teammates. So I think the brilliance behind the Zilic thing, though, is the crew chief, Randall Burnett, a veteran crew chief. They didn't pair him with a new crew chief learning how to do this the first time. They've got a guy who's been around for a bit.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the team that had the other half of the championship four. Stay with us.
This isn't just race day. It's one big Texas-sized weekend. Big time action on the track. Big sounds from the stage. Big flavors that only Austin can deliver. And big memories with your crew. At Circuit of the Americas, NASCAR goes all out all weekend. Don't just watch the action, get right in the middle of it. NASCAR at COTA, February 27th through March 1st. Get tickets at NASCARatCOTA.com.
This is PRN's David Stiles. Life is always moving, and so are you. So what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcasts while you're on the go. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Fast Talk, Garage Pass, and At the Track. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Brandon Caldwell, Doug Rice, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. We're taking a look at all the teams and what their prospects are for 2026. And Brandon, let's take a look at Joe Gibbs Racing. The 11 almost won the championship. The 19 had a breakout year. The 20 had a great year. And then the 54, still looking for his first win. It's Mr. Gibbs.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I don't think we all expected Briscoe to, get going as quickly as he did. Obviously made the championship four, had a really nice year. The key here is going to be the 54, as you mentioned. You know, that is the key for me. I think Bell and Adam Stevens have something great together. Denny Hamlin, enough said. I mean, the guy is a top generational driver in the history of the sport, no question about it. So I think when you're looking at this team and whether or not they make the jump next year, it's got to be the 54 and Ty Gibbs. They've got to get to a point where they may not need to win, but run up front consistently and, you know, be in there, be in contention for a win. These races are really hard to win. I felt like that didn't happen really at all for them. There was a little stretch there where they started to run a little bit better, but year two with Tyler Allen, new crew chief, is going to be a big challenge. Now, we'll see whether or not the exiting of a competition director could be a problem for them going forward, but all indications are, I think things are on track, and it's just the 54 is the one that's the key for me, and whether or not that team's going to be able to make the jump for 2026.
I thought Ty Gibbs would have had his first win by now, Doug.
I think we're going to be saying that when we do this show this time next year. I have seen nothing in Cup outside of a race at Bristol that he looked like he had a shot to win, and he spit the bid on by coming into the pits unannounced. I just don't see that. I don't see it happening for him. Maybe he gets it. He's with a team that can give you a winning car, but I didn't see any leap forward at all. in Ty Gibbs' performance that's going to make me think that he's going to win a race, and who's he going to steal it from?
Yeah. Brandon, you mentioned Denny Hamlin, the talent that he is. I mean, he got past his 60 wins, which was a personal goal. A lot of talk after the championship race that he wasn't sure if he was going to wanted to race again and how devastated he was. I have no doubt he's going to be back in the car next year, and I have no doubt he's going to be the old Denny Hamlin. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, and I know the old saying, Father Time is undefeated. No question he is. We even saw the great Jimmy Johnson get taken down by Father Time eventually. But this is Joe Gibbs Racing. This is Denny Hamlin, who I think always races with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. As long as he doesn't have that championship, and he doesn't, will always race with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And so as long as he has that and tries and has haters and wants to prove people wrong, I think he's going to be a contender. And so I'm not worried about it. I know he just turned 45 last month, but I still think he's going to be a title contender. No question about it. It's Denny Hamlin. He's every generation of car that he's been through since 05 when he got here. He's been able to run well and win races in. I don't think next year is going to be any different.
Doug, you feel the same way?
I do. My biggest concern for Denny Hamlin, and Brandon knows this, is there was an old Bee Gees song, How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? He's got a broken heart right now. He was three laps away from being a cup champion. Caution comes out. They bungle a pit stop, and the rest is history. And Kyle Larson goes on and win. Can he put that aside? Can he forget that long enough to go out and compete heartily for another title? Will he win races? Yeah, he's going to be a contender because he's really, really good race car driver. He's Hall of Fame. But the next step is he has to let go of the past.
All right, let's talk about his other team, 2311. Got the lawsuit in the back in the rearview mirror. They won one race last year, Brandon, and that was Bubba at Indy. Tyler Reddick didn't win a race last year, and he obviously had some personal stuff going on. Does that team bounce back this year? I'm sure that the whole lawsuit was a distraction for the organization as a whole.
Yeah, and I think even more than that for Reddick, you mentioned the personal stuff that he had going on. He was not, you know, he had mentioned on several interviews that he had done that he wasn't really going to everything in the middle of the week because he was with his son. I think that affected their performance a little bit. It would for me as well. I'm a dad of two. I know it would affect my work performance. Tyler Reddick, to me, is a guy that can win a championship. I think he's a very, very solid driver. You know, I think there's been many rumors of him tied to, you know, Rick Hendrick really wants him because he sees how good he is. And so I think when you look at that and say the guy didn't win a race last year, he has to win this year. I think there's no question. I think he's going to win multiple races next year. Billy Scott's a proven crew chief. They've done it before in this car. Just last year was an off year. And I think that the charter stuff probably played a little bit into it of, are we going to be here next year? That kind of thing. I think all that's settled, obviously, now. And the 45 car, which is the Tyler Reddick car, gets back to going strong. And Bubba can take that next step. He's got a new crew chief. It felt like it went to the next level with the new crew chief last year.
You feel like Bubba's finally silenced the critics, Doug?
I think he's close to it. He won last year. He won on a big platform. That's a stage that you can easily cough that up, and he didn't. Now, build on that. Come back, get a multi-win season, make a deep run to the final eight in the playoffs. But Bubba's got talent. Stay focused. He seems like now, and this is so easy to say, you're a dad, child's there celebrating with you. You it's different. I think it just changes people fundamentally. And for Bubba, I think it has for the good.
When we come back, a Ford team that seemed to lack speed most of the year and yet still picked up a win at Phoenix. Unfortunately, it wasn't for the championship. Stay with us.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR.
3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday, Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing. How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Doug Rice, Brandon Caldwell. Glad to have you with us. Looking at every team and what their prospects are for 2026. Let's take a look at Penske. Three teams plus the Wood Brothers. Wood Brothers got a surprise win at Las Vegas last year, but couldn't really keep up the momentum after that. Tried some stuff, but in the playoffs, Lady Luck totally abandoned them in the playoffs, Doug. But you know, you had Ryan Blaney, had a pretty solid year, won the race at Phoenix. Unfortunately, as he said, yeah, won the race at Phoenix, but it wasn't for the championship. I didn't win the year that won the championship because that's the year that Ross Chastain won it. But I know Joey Logano said he was lacking speed all year long, and he kind of felt like Penske was lacking speed most of the year.
They were. I mean, it's just that simple. They were not the juggernaut that we expect out of Team Penske. The Wood Brothers winning at Vegas, right place, right time. Good on them. That was a feel-good win early on in the year, and they took a win probably away from a team that thought they would be getting wins throughout the year. So good on them and the 21 bunch and the Wood Brothers for getting the W. They've got a lot of runway to improve because after that, that was pretty much it. A couple of scattered good runs, but they were nowhere to be seen. So that's the team that can tie it up, but outside of Blaney, Team Penske was kind of unremarkable last year.
And you think about it, I mean, I think, Brandon, a disappointing year for Logano. Yeah, you know, he made the playoffs, but okay. And then, you know, Austin Cindric got a win, but okay. I mean, it's just, yeah, like Doug said, it was kind of a blah year for them.
Yeah, and Cindric's win was at Talladega, which, you know, you can call it what you want, but that was the win at Talladega. Logano, it's something about these even years. I'm a big buyer into that as well with the even year, so he'll bounce back in 26 because it's an even year. But and he and Blaney, you don't have to worry about. They're proven commodities. They've proven they're the champions. So you know that in the 12 and the 22, you've got drivers that can win races if your cars are right. The other one is Cindric, who I feel like has been a little bit of a disappointment, needs to take the next step. I thought, you know, guy with a road course background, thought he'd do way better on the road courses in the Cup Series than he has. So I think Cindric needs to take that next step for Team Penske because, you know, that two car has been an iconic car, and it felt like it hasn't been there for the last few years.
So what do they do? I mean, obviously, guys, I guess it starts at the shop, right, Doug?
I think there were distractions last year in the Penske organization. You go back and you look at the cheating scandal over there on the IndyCar side, and that they all operate out of the same building. And there was a lot of energy from that team that went into getting done with that. And I think overall the Blue Oval had a problem last year because outside of what Team Penske did, they didn't go to victory lane. So I think there may be some inherent Ford problems to go along that stretch this out. Penske has a way of figuring things out. You don't win three titles in a row and not know what you're doing. But they did have a strangely off year, and I feel like Joey Logano is the guy that's got the most room to jump back and have an improvement. One win for Joey Logano coming off a championship season, that's kind of shocking. I would have penciled him in for three right off the bat.
Well, speaking of Ford teams that didn't pick up a win, RFK. And I think the interesting thing to me about RFK, Brandon, is that arguably the best team at RFK last year, or the one that surprised everybody, was Ryan Preece. And that was kind of the late addition third team.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's funny, you think about it and you go, RFK, the K is Keselowski. You'd think he'd be the best one and always have the best stuff because he's the owner or co-owner. But I felt like out of the three, he was probably the least consistent. Preece did very much surprise me. That was a really good year for a good guy, a guy who deserves it and did not deserve to lose his ride at Stewart Haas. So felt good for that. But yeah, they've got a lot of room to grow too. They've got to go out here and win a couple of races. We saw Buescher win races in the past. We saw Keselowski get a win 2 years ago at Darlington. But, you know, it's one thing to run up front. It's another thing to win races. And I felt like they just fell way short last year. All three of those drivers can make jumps. Two of them are race-winning proven drivers. One of them has won a championship before, and that's Brad Keselowski. And he's only 41 years old. I don't think that father time has caught up with him yet. Maybe all of the stuff that goes along with being an owner and a driver has caught up with him a little bit. And I think these teams that expanded took a little bit of a step back this year. These teams that went from two to three teams, and there were several of them, all kind of took a little bit of a step back to kind of drink through the fire hose of all this information we're getting from a new team. How do we absorb it in year one? And I think it hurt performance.
Only 41, Doug.
You know, Brandon's referenced father time a couple of times on the show. Let me say this about that. It's real. And he even said it caught up with Jimmy Johnson, caught up with a seven-time champion. It catches up with everybody, and it's not a definitive date on the calendar. For some people, it's 39. Obviously, for Denny Hamlin, he's not hit that wall yet. It's not there, but it happens. And we're looking at Kyle Busch now, going through seasons and no wins. Brad Keselowski going through a season and no win. Is it a factor? You bet it's a factor. They don't have the muscle memory and the reflexes of the 26-year-old that they're racing over here, who is also very good. Do they have experience? Yes. But time is a factor, and it waits for absolutely no one. And to act like it's not part of the equation, I think you're just fooling yourself.
What, Brandon, does Chris Buescher need to do to get back to victory lane? He has been so close the last 2 years and just can't seem to get there.
Yeah, I think if you take that next step, I think it's probably a little bit of everything. You know, I can't even think about one style of racetrack that he's really good at. I mean, everybody says road courses, but everybody's a good road course racer now. It's not like it was 20 years ago where you had four or five really good road course racers. Everybody's a really good road course racer. We do it a lot now. So, he's a good road course racer. But he's also a good short tracker. He's a good intermediate tracker. I don't think anything this year stood out to me of like, oh, well, you know, he runs well here. This needs to come up. It's a little bit of everything. And even on pit road, I thought that with this single lug, everything would get evened out on pit road, but I think it's made it even tighter and made it even more important that one little mistake, a misstep by your pit crew member or somebody like that throws your whole pit stop off and you lose, you know, losing a quarter of a second is like losing what 4 seconds used to be on pit road. And so I think that's a big thing as well, is that you lose so much track position if your pit stops aren't good. So it's a little bit of everything, I think, for that 17. They're not that far off, but you know, in this car, we've seen a little goes a long way, and it might take them a long time to get back.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a team that took some strides last year, especially as the year went on, and it's the one that the seven-time champ has got a piece of. Stay with us.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
This is PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN At the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start finish line. Right behind him, Chase Elliott getting pushed by teammate Alex Bowman.
Barry off of turn two. Nice and smooth with that red and white famed Wood Brother colors now down into turn number three. The advantage is 8 or 9 car lengths over Chase Briscoe. Fans jump to their feet to salute SVG on this beatdown Sunday here at Sonoma.
Here we go. Ross Chastain with a push from Carson Hocevar down. These cars are glued together. Up top it's Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Who's going to pull out of line?
It's been crazy. It's been confusing. And out of the chaos, Christopher Bell has won the Bass Pro Shops night race.
William Byron has got one last chance to pass Ross Chastain. He's going to have to drive it into turn three harder than he has all night long.
Nobody has blocked drivers better than Kyle Larson today, but he could not get high enough to clear Denny Hamlin. He'll try it in two, barely squeezes ahead of Hamlin.
This is PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Brandon Caldwell, Doug Rice, Brett McMillan, looking at every team and their prospects for 2026. Let's take a look at Legacy Motor Club, Brandon, the team that really showed some improvement as the year went on last year after Jimmy Johnson and crew made some major behind-the-scenes changes last year.
Yeah, I remember being in Pocono in 2024 and seeing all those changes come down while I was at the track and being like, okay, wow, this is a huge difference for Legacy Motor Club. And I think it took them the rest of the year to kind of, you know, get all that together. And they felt like they really improved this year. Again, they were one of the teams that did not expand in 2025. They stayed with two cars, stayed with both drivers as well, brought in a new crew chief for both drivers, and things seemed to go pretty well for them. Obviously, to me, the guy that you look at is Erik Jones, because he's the proven winner. He runs really well at Darlington. He's won for them before. So I think if you see him take that first step, you can go next step. You go, okay, they're on their way. John Hunter, though, did a really nice job for them. John Hunter Nemechek. And I thought he was way more consistent, especially early in the year. And he's working with a veteran hand there in Travis Mack as well. So things went really well for them in 25, and I see them continuing on the upswing for 26.
Yeah, Doug, I thought John Hunter Nemechek really made some huge strides last year.
He did. He showed consistent improvement, and that's a word you kick around a lot in racing, but you got to be consistent. You got to show up and knock down top 15s before you start winning races. I emceed an event with Jimmy Johnson last year here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I said, did you call it Legacy Motor Club because you spent all this time in England? Because I thought, okay, yeah, that sounds English to me, Motor Club. And he goes, no, that the eventual plan is for people to buy into this. As a fan, you could buy in and you will get special privileges and a round of golf and all of these things. They haven't instituted it yet because I think the startup for this was a lot harder. But it is going to be something very unique. Once they finish rolling it out, it truly will be a motor club.
Well, and, you know, Brandon, you mentioned that right now they're a two-car team, but as of 2027, they'll be adding a third car because they're buying one of the charters from Rick Ware.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious of where they're looking at for a driver for that car in 2027, because all indications are to me that I don't think Corey Heim is interested in driving there. He's the hot Toyota candidate. And so do they look in bringing in a veteran driver for that car, or do they hire a rookie, a hotshot rookie coming up? You know, Caden Honeycutt just announced a deal with Tricon. Would he make the jump? We've seen guys make jumps straight from the truck series before and it work out okay. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. You know, they're going to run a third car part-time, at least one race this year. Jimmy said he's running the San Diego race, but I think you'll see him in a lot more than that. But, you know, looking to see if that Kent will help them build that team up in a part-time effort this year to run in 2027. And like I said, curious to see where they go with a driver for that.
Brett, I have to ask, was the price negotiated pre-lawsuit settlement?
Yeah, because remember they had a lawsuit about
That's right, because it was party to a lawsuit. Because if it wasn't, now it's going to cost a lot more to buy a charter than it did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they're saying the price of charters got up, maybe doubled since the settlement. Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
And that charter's been at Roush, so you know I don't know if that will affect anything for this year. The 60's going to use it again in 26. So
now Keselowski's going to have to find another charter.
Ooh. Open up the pocketbook. You need to go win some races this year, Brad.
Exactly. Or hope Fenway's been selling out. Let's take a look at another team that has shown some promise but hasn't really delivered to the point of victory lane, and that's Spire. And they've added Daniel Suarez this year into the 7 car. But again, Doug, they've shown promise, but they haven't finished races. They've shown speed, especially in qualifying.
I've seen this movie too, and there seems to be this popular notion around the Spire team that they have it all, that they've got all this money and all these resources, and they're aligned with Hendrick and everything. I have seen no fruit come out of this orchard at all, and I want more teams to be successful. I would really like to see more than just the big three win races and be in contention, but there's nothing right now that tells me that, yeah, they're going to make the next jump to light speed this year. I'd like to see it, but I'm not a believer yet.
You know, we thought, Brandon, when Ronnie Childers went over there last year, that was the sign that, yeah, they're ready to take the next step. That didn't last very long, but I think that was a personality conflict between Rodney and the driver of the 7 at the time. Well, that Rodney's gone. He's at DEI, or he's at Dale Jr.'s place right now. New driver of the 7. What kind of home is that going to be for Daniel Suarez now?
I'm interested. I don't see it as a lateral move, even a lateral move from Trackhouse Racing. I see it as a step down, to be honest with you. And, you know, Doug said successful. I think we need to define successful. If we're talking about successful on the racetrack versus being a money-making operation, I think Spire does that really, really well. And in this sport, it's very different. It's not like in baseball where, you know, you can get four teams from one division to make the playoffs because they just beat up on the one bad team. Somebody has to be down in order for another team to be up. And I feel like that this team is just going to stay right where they are. Now, Josevar is a great driver, and somebody's going to pluck him. He's had some really strong runs there. Might even win one next year if all comes together. McDowell's a proven veteran, can run well in the super speedways, can run well in the road courses. And, you know, Suarez is, we'll see how he works out in year one there. So it's going to be interesting to see going forward, but I don't see anything to have them take that huge next step. Everything seems to be staying the same there as well. And they've got the truck operation too. Does that affect the cup performance? Who knows?
With SVG now being so dominant on the road courses, it's really taken a lot of attention away from AJ Allmendinger,
right,
and what he's been able to do on the road courses. Colleague, still two cars in the Cup Series. They've completely gotten out of the now O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, formerly Xfinity, and because so much of their focus is going to be getting this whole truck operation up and running with 5 Ram trucks. So what happens to their Cup teams this year?
It depends how much energy they put in. Five truck operation. And they're giving some people, you know, Butterbean's going to go over there and run a truck, and you know, that's a lot to say grace over. A couple of cup cars and 5 of these. I think this is, if they make this work, it is nothing short of miraculous to tackle bringing 5 trucks. Just the logistics behind that every week, loading up 5 trucks and hauling them off and racing them along with 2 cup cars. If they can pull it off, good on them. This is a monumental task. I think the wall is almost more than vertical. It's inverted.
Does the cup operation, Brandon, become almost an afterthought?
I think so. You know, it's going to be really tough. And I think as the year goes on and we know that they're fielding Ram trucks in the truck series, does that, you know, obviously the alliance with RCR is already gone now because of I think that they don't want, you know, them to get all the Chevrolet information for a team that's a Ram team in another series if Dodge, Stellantis' other brand, is looking to go cup racing, obviously I think Kaulig would be the place to go. If they make that announcement in, you know, October, and Kaulig's the team, it's even going to get worse in that sense of Chevrolet sort of closing the door, stepping on the hose for them, if that's the case. And so, you know, it's also manufacturer dependent now, and I just don't see them getting that same level of information that they got last year. And last year, they weren't that spectacular. So I think they take even a further step down, unfortunately. Not saying anything about the talent of the drivers. Allmendinger's proven he's a good driver. I just think they're going to be battling from behind. And then five trucks is a massive effort. It's really, really difficult to do five full-time trucks. And then there's other things that are going to go along with that as well. So just a lot for them to handle with not a lot of information at the cup level.
While we're talking about those five trucks, I mean, obviously, it's huge with Ram coming into the sport. And I mean, you both sound like you feel like this is a huge bite of the apple that they're taking here. What kind of level of success should we expect from them this year?
The truck operation?
Yeah, the truck operation.
I don't want to sound like Dougie Downer, okay?
Yeah.
But you're rolling into territory that other people have claimed to already. And I think it's going to be tough. And how do you decide which truck gets more love? It's like your kids. All right, who gets the hug today? Because I don't have time to hug every kid. And who gets the love? Who gets the focus? Where does the attention go? This is, like I said, if they can pull this off, it's great. I don't expect a lot. I think this is going to be a real awakening. New technology. They're starting at zero. At zero. The one even factor is all the engines are the same. So they don't have to worry about that. But outside of that, Brad, I just think this is going to be a huge task to try to overcome. I'd like to see some success because I want to see another brand with a toehold in NASCAR that say, hey, we're doing good. This is selling trucks for us.
Brandon, what are you seeing?
I see it sort of. Remember when Lane Riggs got to the Cup Series, Truck Series a couple of years ago and really struggled early on and then came on late? I think we could see that with this operation. It's a lot of information, but they do have a lot of resources. Ram's putting a lot of resources in their pockets. And Doug's right about the engines. I think that's a big thing that is different in the other series of the engines are all spec engines, so they're all nobody's going to have more horsepower than the other. And they have two really good drivers there. Butterbean did an awesome job in the ARCA series last year. Justin Haley's been a proven driver in the lower series as well. So two of those guys, I think, are going to be really, really strong. It's just how long is it going to take them to get up to speed? It's not like they hired guys that, you know, haven't proven themselves. And so we'll see how long it takes them. But I do think by the end of the year, at least those two drivers will be up front and competing for wins.
When we come back, what kind of year can Kyle Busch and RCR have? Stay with us.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491. 3491.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace car, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car, or the GR Supra pace car at the night touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of a 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business. Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Doug Rice, Brandon Caldwell, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Let's take a look at RCR for the coming year. Well, they won the championship in the Xfinity Series, but Cup continues to be a struggle for them, Doug.
Yes, it does. And that's one of the most prominent discussions going on in NASCAR right now. Will Kyle Busch stage a comeback next year? And that's a legitimate question. Will he? I don't know. I think so many people are pulling for this guy to come back, which is ironic because he was the most despised driver for three quarters of his career. And now he's beloved because he's older and he's not winning. And I think that is the key to RCR is what can they do to get Kyle Busch toward the front to make him legitimate. Austin Dillon's going to give you an Austin Dillon year. He's going to win a race, maybe two, and he'll probably make the playoffs and then it sputters. That's his track record. But you know what? For Austin Dillon, he's done okay. He's won five races, I think, including a Coke 600 and a Daytona 500. That's not too shabby. If you're only going to win a few, pick some biggies.
Yeah, win crown jewels. Yeah. Brandon, what do you think is going on at RCR where they could be so successful in the Xfinity Series and yet struggle in the Cup Series?
Well, I think they're a big team in the Xfinity Series. In the Cup Series, they're now a small team. You know, there's very few two-car teams now. We've seen Front Row expand to three. We saw, you know, Trackhouse expand to three. We saw a bunch of teams expand to three. So there's very few even two-car teams now. So they're small at the Cup level. I think some of the resources, you know, are going to maybe the three-car over the eight. They've got a tremendous driver there at the eight, a world-class driver. But it's almost like we see in baseball sometimes where a guy gets to a team that doesn't win and, you know, the performance starts to taper. And then they get traded to a team that can win at the deadline and they get rejuvenated sort of. I almost wonder if that's the case for Kyle Busch. Now, they're bringing in a new crew chief, Jim Pohlman, who's had a ton of success at the Xfinity level with Justin Allgaier. But how much can a crew chief make a difference when you're talking about the technicalities of this car with not that much room to work with? So I would love to see it. It would be great. Does the added horsepower at the shorter tracks help Kyle Busch? I would love to see it, but do I expect him to go out there? Would I be shocked to see him go out there and win six races this year and contend for a championship? Absolutely. So, you know, I think this could be just what we're seeing is this is where Kyle Busch ends it, and it just runs like this, and we've got to lower our expectations for one of the great drivers of our generations as long as he's with this team.
Well, Brandon mentioned Front Row. They were the other team involved in the lawsuit, and now that has been settled. So, you know, a lot of attention, Doug, on how much that distracted the people at 2311. Was it a distraction last year? I wonder if there was a distraction for the people at Front Row.
Ironically enough, I don't think so as much because I think the people at 2311 were looking around going, are we even going to be here? Are they going to shutter the doors on this brand new shiny shop if we lose the lawsuit? From what we found out in the trial, with Bob Jenkins having lost close to $100 million, and that just doesn't roll off my tongue, I don't know if there was this great sense of urgency over there that if they lost the lawsuit, they were going to shut down anyway. Because apparently making money is not the number one thing. I mean, I don't say that flippantly, but that doesn't seem to be the most driving factor at that particular team in Front Row Motorsports.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, they've got a new driver. No new drivers this year. Everything stays pretty much the same at Front Row, Brandon. So what does that mean for them? Are they able, or is the opportunity there to take a step up?
I think it better be. You know, the one team that I think could really make a huge step is the Gregson team. They had some really rotten luck last year. And we've seen in the lower series more than even the other two guys. Now, Zane's got a Truck Series championship, and I think out of the three drivers, Zane Smith was the best last year. But we've seen Gregson win at the lower levels. So I think if things are right, he can get the victory lane. I think he's aggressive enough to make that happen in this car where everything is so close now. So I think if you see a jump, it'll be Gregson. Gilliland, they made a crew chief change, and it felt like it went backwards for them. You know, Burgundy went to the 38 car with Zane, and that car went good. So we'll see if year two does better for the performance of that 34 with Gilliland. But I wonder if, with all the distractions that went on last year, if they kind of regretted letting Michael McDowell walk, because I think a veteran leader and a steady hand there probably would have done some value for them. If there was a distraction with all the charter stuff, maybe McDowell would have been able to guide for those three young drivers to lean on and go, okay, you know, it's not the end of the world. Things are going to be better. Things are going to work out. Maybe that's what was going on there, because those are three really young drivers. Not one. Usually you have a couple of young drivers and then a proven veteran. That's not what they have here. They have three really young drivers. None of them have wins at the cup level.
Let's talk about a couple of single car teams. First of all, Hayek, the Ricky Stenhouse Jr. back again. You know they're going to contend to the restrictor plates, but they're not restrictor plates anymore. Super speedways. But beyond that, they're just kind of there.
He may run well at Bristol. Stenhouse knows how to get around Bristol pretty well. So they may be competitive there. He might very well go to Daytona and win the Daytona 500 because he's done it before and he just has a knack for those big tracks. That's where his wins come from. So for Stenhouse, I'll give him maybe a win with an asterisk. It'll come at one of the super speedway tracks.
Brandon, what do you see? Any opportunity for them to improve upon that?
Unless they improve their alliance with Hendrick, and it's a small one at that, I don't see that happening. I really don't. And Stenhouse is a good driver. He's proven that. But nothing has really changed there. And I was a little bit concerned about the sponsorship situation last year. We saw so many come in and out. Now, you know, I don't know what they're paying, and maybe they're making more money than they did when they had the Kroger deal there. I don't know. But I just thought with all of that turnover and all the different sponsors, I do wonder if there's something going on there, and that could affect the resources with, you know, being able to pay for more. So I'm not expecting them to make a big jump next year or a jump at all and kind of be the same and contend at the plate tracks.
And then you got the Haas factory team, which is making the switch to Chevy this year, but I don't know how much difference that'll make, Doug.
I don't know. And it's funny you say Chevy, because that's what it is. It's a Chevrolet. It doesn't really exist in the world as we know it with the nameplate change and all that. So I don't expect much. I like the driver there. I like Cole a lot. I like Stenhouse a lot from the other team you just mentioned. It is so hard to go up against these other teams that have quadruple the resources you do and expect real results.
Yeah. Same kind of question for you on that, Brandon. Any opportunity for those guys to really make any kind of step forward?
Yeah, I felt like if they were going to go cup racing, maybe they should have hung on to two charters and been a two-car team. Having one and trying to compete with one is really difficult. I guess they were a little bit disappointed in the information and all the stuff they got from Ford last year, so they're going to go back to Chevrolet. You're just adding to the Chevrolet pile, really. And then you add another team onto that as well that's making a switch to Chevrolet. It's like, well, how much more resources can you get from another resource? You know, to me, the more you add, the less there is for you. And I feel like I'm not going to see a huge jump from them this year.
Let me real quickly ask about Dale Earnhardt Jr. They know the Junior Motorsports is going to run the Daytona 500, or going to attempt to run the Daytona 500 again this year. But in the Xfinity Series last year, they had three quarters of the final four, didn't win the championship. RCR won the championship. They're not going to have Connor Zilich for the whole year, going to have him for part of the year, but can they come even close to the kind of year they had in 2025? I mean, hey, Justin Allgaier still had a heck of a year and would have had an even better year if it hadn't been for Zilich.
No, because Zilich tipped the scales. He won so many races and so often, it was almost unfair. So you're not going to replace that. You're not going to find the 10 wins that Connor Zilich had in that series next year. Could they win the championship? Sure, because they're good. They've got good tech support. And they have lots of money.
What are you thinking, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm curious what the crew chief change is going to do for Allgaier. Jim Pullman's not there, and he, you know, Andrew Overstreet's going to be there. We're going to see how that affects Justin. They didn't do Zilich any favors. He's got Zilich, Quapel any favors. He's going to go run, you know, some races outside of Junior Motorsports and then come back to them as well with the Rodney Childers number one car. I don't love that situation. You know, so he made a championship four last year. I think that could cost him a championship or even a playoff run this year in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. It's going to be very competitive. There's so many teams stepping up now and getting better. I think that, and even Carruth, who's running the 88 part-time, it's going to be a little bit, and he's going to go run Jordan Anderson's car when he's not running the 88. So you got two drivers kind of doing that with one foot in and one foot out. That's going to be a struggle for them to try and make it back there with those drivers doing that.
So what's the over and under before we're sick of as fast as counter service at O'Reilly Auto Parts?
You may have just stumbled on it, Brett. You may have just stumbled on the new catchphrase. If you're smart, you let that rest for you.
All right, we'll let it rest. White Flag Laps up next.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Need a break? A break from the grind? The stress? We have just the place. A place where you can let your inner thrill billy out. Bristol Motor Speedway, April 10th through the 12th for the NASCAR Food City 500 Triple Header Weekend. 3 days, three races, two night races, one epic weekend. Don't just take a break, race to it. Get your tickets, upgrades, and more now at bristolmotorspeedway.com. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is he going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And time now for our white flag laps. And first up, Brandon Caldwell.
Yeah, I think the thing to watch here going forward that we didn't mention is the Gibbs Xfinity Series teams or O'Reilly Series teams next year. Kind of see they had a bunch of young drivers last year. I don't think had huge expectations or did as well as I think they would have hoped. Can they take that next step on the O'Reilly Series and win a whole bunch of races and contend for a title next year?
Yeah, good thoughts. Appreciate you, your time and your insight. Thanks a lot, Brandon. Appreciate it. Next up, Doug Rice.
Guy knows his stuff. Brett, I know some of your other guests have mentioned that the Pit Reporter show will be going away at the conclusion of this year. I can say this after 26 years. They could not have had a better host, and I don't say that flippantly. You have done a remarkable job with this show. It stayed fresh. For 26 years, this show stayed fresh. It included a lot of great, talented people. And when you can say that, that's the highest praise I can give you. Nice job. Job well done.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you picking me all 26 years ago. So, yeah, not a lot of shows get to last 26 years.
No, they don't.
So,
quarter of a century, that's pretty good.
I appreciate it. Well, we talked about a lot of teams and looking forward to 2026 and – You know, we used to have the media tour every year, and one of the games that everybody used to play during the media tour is how many people said, "I'm optimistic."
I'm excited. Yeah.
And they kept track of that, and that's kind of what everybody starts the year. Everybody's going to be excited and optimistic about the season, and that's the way it should be this time of year. Optimistic and excited about a new season. 2026, a lot of unanswered questions, and the questions will start to be answered before you know it. We'll be at Bowman Gray. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.